it takes some balls to drop a 4-inch needle into someone's joint. So this is why we get frozen shoulders. That's why you only see frozen shoulders in middle-aged women, right? It's a hormonal issue. A lot of people will come back and say, I've had Prolo, it was horribly painful. And I'm like, who was holding the syringe? Because it doesn't need to be painful. Obesity drives inflammation. If I take your hot mess of inflamed blood and I concentrate it down, highly concentrate it, and I shoot it into your hot mess of an inflamed joint, we are going to have a problem.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have with me an OG in the naturopathic world. You might know her if you're on the social media game, because she's doing that too. Dr. Tina Moore, she's been around Prolo therapy. She actually says it's literally in her blood. For more than 20 years she's been doing this. She's been in practice for more than 10 years, and she switched avenues and has been coaching for more than 3 years. And she's the author of a best-selling book. So this is like a pretty dope interview we're going to do. I got the opportunity to be on her show not too long ago, and I was like, Tina, I got to get you on. Oh, and she has some badass tattoos. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Dr. Tina Moore. Thanks for coming on, friend.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. This is fun. We got to talk on my podcast recently, and this will be part two.
Exactly, to switch it up. Actually, you know, since the last time we spoke, Game of Thrones has come back, but nothing has happened.
Yes, yes, yes. I have thoughts on that.
They're about to rip your heart out in the next episode. So.
Yes, I think everybody needs to get their adrenal support and their whatever antidepressants they cycle on ready, because it's going to be terrible.
It's coming. They're going to take it all away. Anyone that was shown in that last episode and like you fell in love with, they're about to be like, nope, dead.
Yeah. As you and I spoke last, you said you had binge watched it recently, and I realized I've been invested in this show for 8 years. So it's like losing any of these characters is going to be just
exactly.
This show messes me up sometimes, but no joke. There's episodes like The Red Wedding where I was like, I'm not okay for like a week.
That episode, I was like, should I keep watching this show?
Yeah.
Or is this? Yeah, that was heavy, man. But Tina, can you please tell the folks, I know about you, but like I said, I want them to fall in love with you. Can you tell the folks some stuff about you?
Sure. So I have a background in regenerative medicine, regenerative injection therapy specifically. That's been my passion in practice. And I've been in practice for over 10 years. I recently closed down my practice though. So moving on to different things. Mm-hmm. My mentor, who passed away in 2013, Dr. Rick Marinelli, he brought Prolo therapy to our profession, to the naturopathic profession. And I'm also a chiropractor. I fell in love with Prolo therapy when I started working for him over 20 some years ago. I was in my early 20s and I was like, what is he doing? People were literally coming in wheelchairs. I was helping him assist and he was dropping, 4-inch needles into people's joints. And they were getting up and walking out on their own accord. And I was like, what is this? And so this was long before the advent of PRP or stem cells or any of that being popularized. This was like, I'm talking the 90s. And he was using Prolo therapy solution to really completely alter people's lives. And then that grew up into PRP. And early on, he was an adapter and I was always there with him assisting and helping. So I've been in this field a long, long time. I've seen professionally, I've seen thousands upon thousands of joints, but through my mentor, through my time with him, so many more. So I've drank the Kool-Aid. I'm a believer.
Can you please, you guys listening, I brought Dr. Drew Timmermans on not too long ago, and I'll link that episode, but I would love to hear from you. Can we start off and maybe just tell the people, myself included, what exactly Prolo therapy is?
Sure. And, you know, Drew was a student of mine, and I think he and I are on similar wavelengths. I think he's old school in the way that he thinks about these treatments. So I really do highly recommend him.
Smallest world.
I know. Well, the naturopathic community is pretty small, and the regenerative medicine community within the naturopathic community is really small, because it takes some balls to drop a 4-inch needle into someone's joint. Like, that's not for the weary.
Like, dang, just thinking about
and it. And to do it well, like, I am such a huge fan of Prolo first and foremost, because what it is sugar water. Mm-hmm. It's dextrose. And you actually are creating a hyperosmotic effect. There's, you know, we can look at it really, really literally, in that we're taking a needle and we are proliferating tissues, causing microtrauma. So the needle itself counts. So we're actually causing microbleed. And as you know, ligaments and tendons don't heal very well because they don't have a good blood supply. So we're peppering the regions, the enthesis, where the ligament and tendon meet bone. We pepper there because it's highly innervated and it's very compromised often. I believe, as a prolotherapist, that the root cause of a lot of people's pain is ligamentous issues. So really focusing and doubling down on the soft tissue surrounding the joint, and then also injecting intraarticularly. And this creates a secondary modulated healing effect. So when you sprain your ankle, most people do the, you know, standard of care, which is rice. You know, they ice it, they rest it, they elevate it. I am a meat proponent. I want them to move it. I want them to take an analgesic for pain that is not an anti-inflammatory. I want all the inflammation to happen. I usually tell them to take a shot of whiskey, suck it up, and walk it off. That's what I want that healing cascade to happen. And so most people get that cut off. And with dextrose prolotherapy, we're creating a secondary chance at that healing. And so hopefully it's more modulated. And then that grows up into, so that's a technique also. It's not just what's in the syringe and the solution. We actually want to treat, it's not just about any monkey can shoot juice in a joint. We want to treat all of the extra-articular structures and make sure that that joint's moving, and not, like, the shoulder is a great example of so many attachments, right? There's so many things that could go wrong there. I probably will apply 20 injections to the shoulder region, to specific areas, to hit all of the pertinent structures of the rotator cuff and supporting ligaments. And then I shoot some juice in the joint. And that also causes the way I like to look at it is you're creating an intra-articular environment. You're switching up the microenvironment. So even if you shot saline in there, you'd change the microenvironment of the joint and you would induce healing. So it's simply a matter of changing what's going on in there. It turns into a pathological degenerative milieu. And when you shoot something in there that changes the pH and the osmolarity, you change that microenvironment. So it's my opinion that, it's nice to have these expensive stem cells shot in there, but also sometimes just doing inexpensive prolotherapy does the trick. More times than not, that'll do the trick, or it will at least prime the area. And then it can grow up into these sexy therapies that everybody's
My mind
in.
Just got blown. A few questions here. One, you said you'll do 20. You're doing 20. This is over how long of time? And this is just that are you actually doing an injection with these 20 shots, or is it just like we are putting the needle into the area to cause some localized trauma, or what's that number there?
Yeah. So it takes about 5 minutes because I'm fast.
Oh,
and
damn.
Yeah, I'm fast. I've done a lot of them.
Dang.
I am probably using a total of, you know, depending on the joint, 10 to 20 cc's of solution. And I am peppering all around to every pertinent enthesis that is involved. So I'm looking for the pain generator. And in the rotator cuff, for instance, you know, I'll hit subscap, I'll hit glenohumeral ligaments, I'll hit supraspinatus, infraspinatus, teres, joint capsule. The capsule itself often gets synovitis and will be involved in the pain generation. It's not just what's happening inside the joint. And then, of course, you've got the inside of the joint. We want to bathe it. There's the labrum. There's a different, you know, you can hit the top of the labrum where the biceps tendon inserts. from a superior injection. There's all kinds of ways to get to this. And it's just quick. It's efficient. I'm very light with my hands. I'm not heavy-handed. A lot of people will come back and say, I've had Prolo. It was horribly painful. And I'm like, who was holding the syringe? Because it doesn't need to be painful. And I do, I will say, I think this is where female injectors shine because we do have a more delicate touch. So it's really quick and easy. It's usually quite painless for the patient. And then it's over. And then they get, it feels like a, you know, it feels like you've got a bit of a Charlie horse in your joint for about a day. Yeah. And then things get better and better and better and better. And then we repeat that in a month and we'll do that for, you know, 4 rounds spaced a month apart. I like to get the patient into PT immediately upon, I tell them to take 2 weeks off after the injection. I get them to PT. I think that's a critical relationship that needs to happen. They need to start moving it. If we're trying to induce chondrocytes and fibroblasts to lay down new healthy tissue, and I need that tissue moving in the right field. Yeah. The patients that don't get better are the patients that don't rehab it. And I'm a big proponent of movement. That was one of the first things I noticed about you online. I was like, oh, a fellow weightlifter doctor. You got to move, you got to strengthen it. And to that point, I won't even treat patients who aren't well conditioned, because if you're not well conditioned, you're just hanging off your ligaments anyway. Or motivated to get conditioned. It's critical.
This is incredible. I loved actually what you said in there, that the actual injection is a therapy too. It's not just what's going in. Like, that is, my mind is.
Yeah. The needle counts. My mentor always taught me bigger is better in this situation. So as big a needle as the patient can handle, because we're using it almost like a microscalpel. We're trying to induce. And that's why it's not just one shot and done. Mm-hmm. And there are quote unquote prolotherapists and quote unquote PRP docs that they literally just shoot one spot under ultrasound or one spot intraarticular and they tell you you're done. And it's like, no, there's probably like 30 other tender spots, and you need to be really good with your palpation skills to be good at prolo. That first, anatomy and palpation are 9/10 of the solution, you know, figuring out the solution. And then you just hit everything that hurts with the goal. If patients report that that's recreating their chief complaint pain, then I know I'm really onto something. I'm looking for sclerotogenous referral patterns. I'm looking for all the referral patterns. And I do believe this is where my chiropractic training helps me quite a bit, because I was trained in that world. And so to me, the needle's just an extension of my hand.
Wow. You do this. You know, go ahead, Tina. Go ahead.
I was going to say, my goal is really just to recreate all of their pain in a, you know, like I said, in a modulated fashion. And then they get better and better. I've never seen anybody not get better from prolotherapy. I've seen PRP and stem cells make people worse when they were applied too prematurely. Mm-hmm. If you take a middle-aged woman with, you know, low thyroid function, and my chihuahua's over here choking. Don't mind that noise. She's old and makes a lot of weird noises now. Anyway, if you take a middle-aged woman with synovitis and concomitant systemic issues that are like not helping her joints at all, they're, you know, most of her joint pain is coming from some systemic issue, and you throw heavy duty therapies at her, her joints will freeze down and they will get worse. And so that's why I try to always encourage all physicians learning Regen Med, and this is where Drew and I think agree, and everyone going to seek out regenerative medicine, to start with a skilled prolotherapist first, because that will calm the region and it will prepare the region. It's therapeutic as well as diagnostic, because if you get all the pain generators, the patient will report pain relief. It may be temporary. They may need something stronger, but at least we know, okay, like, we got it all. And we've got the stem cells in the area woken up saying, hey, we're going to hit you with something heavier. And the dextrose itself actually calms neurogenic inflammation. So sometimes joints are just pissed off. They're not actually, like, the MRI is normal, all imaging is normal, PE is normal for the most part, but the patient's just reporting a lot of pain. I think those people just have angry joints, and dextrose is like a salve.
This is so good.
So I just calm them and prime them. And then whatever they need after that, that's great. We have access to that. But I don't think everybody needs to jump on the PRP stem cell bandwagon.
I think people's wallets are happy to hear that.
Well, that's true. And I want to make a point real quick about that, because this is a huge beef of mine. A lot of people can't afford those therapies. And so they throw the baby out with the bathwater and they say, well, I can't afford it, so I'm just going to use my insurance. and I'm going to get cortisone or I'm going to get surgery. And there's this beautiful middle ground called prolotherapy that most people can access. The injections are a couple hundred dollars a pop, which I know can still be price prohibitive, but you know, I think I charge $300 a joint each treatment. And that's a nice thing for most people to access, and it will turn the pain dial down versus like, oh, I can't do anything because I can't afford the $10,000 stem cells.
I love it. So many options. My brain is spinning here. I'm going to ask the first thing that I can remember.
Okay.
I'm totally bought into this. And it's actually really funny because I was introduced to prolotherapy years ago as a very new grad. And the way he explained it, the way he spoke about it, I was like, this shit doesn't work. Get out of here. Like he seemed like he was just trying to sell it. And he was also talking about movement stuff that I was like, that it does not sound like science, but it's amazing. Like hearing you say this, I'm like, no shit, this is amazing. So I feel like a question that someone would have is, and maybe the question that I have in general, because we see it, like sometimes your joint is unhappy, like you said. What are things within the body that perpetuate this? Is this just a matter of, because like people would like to say like, you know, our body's amazing. If you give it the right atmosphere, environment, it can heal. But like sometimes you need to jumpstart a car that has a good battery. You know what I mean? Like, could you explain perhaps some of the science behind this? Like why maybe you're doing the right stuff, but this is why things are still going on there.
I think the biggest thing I see contributing to joint pain is hormonal issues with patients, and thyroid being the biggest one. I just did a talk actually at an autoimmune conference last weekend about hypothyroidism and pain. And I'm actually going to do it as a podcast episode in May. So you can check that out. But one of the most prevalent hypothyroid, meaning low thyroid symptoms, is a myopathy. It's a hypothyroid myopathy. And it's been noted in the literature for decades, but nobody ever takes it seriously. And that was one of the first things I took seriously, because I did my naturopathic schooling and my chiropractic at the same time. And so I synthesized everything as, you know, I was learning everything from the inside and musculoskeletally. And then I was trying to learn everything from the hormonal lab, you know, differential diagnosis, internal medicine standpoint. It kind of all came together in my brain. But one of the first thing that happens with, so like, let's say about, I think 70 to 80% of people with hypothyroidism have some form of myopathy. And what happens first is that the muscles around the hips and the shoulder girdles and the pelvic girdles start to atrophy. So this is why we get frozen shoulders. That's why you only see frozen shoulders in middle-aged women, right? It's a hormonal issue. Same thing with hips. I think there is a frozen hip phenomenon because I'm living with it. Personally, right now, I'm dealing with it, and I can't find anything in the literature, but it is totally a thyroid-driven phenomenon. And so that's critical. And then once the muscles around the joint start to atrophy, I think blood sugar dysregulation causes a lot of extremity atrophy as well, and weakness. And so, and like what, like most Americans have some form of metabolic syndrome. So there's that. But once those muscles start to atrophy, then the capsules and the ligament have to take over. And that's when I think you start getting that pathologic derangement inside the joint. And I do think, honestly, I think arthritis is a metabolic issue. I think it's actually a metabolic issue. The joints are alive, and we look at them mechanically and mechanistically as like these separate biomechanical things, when really they're a live organ system. So they respond to the hormones, and they respond to the metabolism and the blood sugar dysregulation and inflammation. And then our gut biome significantly impacts any, you know, you've learned about all the arthropathies, the, you know, inflammatory arthropathies, and those are all driven by different bugs in the gut biome. So it's crazy.
Much.
Like this is stuff that no one looks at.
So much. And you think that no one looks at it because I feel like we have a pretty wide range of dysfunction within which we can function and like be mostly okay. And so I think that, you know, we say pain is typically not the onset of dysfunction. It's the end of your, what is the word I want to use? The end of your compensations, right? And finally your body is like, hey, help me out here. Like, I feel like we have this wide range of shittiness that we can live in. And so because of this, we don't look at things until they're like really barking at us. And then immediately we go for that very mechanical, you know, understanding of things. Like everything you're saying, my head is just like, yes, all of these things. Yes. Like, And then part of me is like, well, shit, like, you know, we're looking at PT school. That's my, a lot of my audience, that's my background. And there's such a big push to get like the psychosocial side of things, which I think is like very easy to add. And I think we don't think we need like need loads and loads of classes, like just don't be a dick and you'll probably be okay. Right. But here I'm listening to you and I'm like, dude, we need way more classes in this side of stuff, in just understanding hormones and the GI system. And like, we get such a little, like, little itty bitty sparse component of it in PT school. And then like someone comes in with you, comes into you with back pain and you never touch the front of their body. And they're just like, it's probably because you round your back. And like, ah, you are blowing my
mind. Right. And the gut is so huge. It's, I can't tell you how many people with chronic SI pain who have IBS, and when their IBS flares, their SIs get worse, and it's on and on. And that's why patients come in and they would say, I would look at them. Yeah. I mean, I could just tell by looking at it. You know that kid in The Sixth Sense where he's like, I see dead people. I see I see thyroid issues. I see autoimmune disease and thyroid. And they would walk in. I'm like, I can tell by looking at your skin and like the actual skin itself. And I can tell by just looking at your overall constitution and putting my hands on you that you've got some pretty severe inflammation and thyroid issues and hormonal issues probably. And probably something going on with your gut because your skin is showing that to me. And they just, they're like, what does it have to do with my knees? Like, why won't you treat me? I'm like, because you need to go get all that handled. And I bet you all your knee pain goes away.
Yeah.
Or if it doesn't, we can clean it up. But like, oh, and you're not moving and you're deconditioned. So it's like, all those things have to get addressed first, or the injections are just a Band-Aid. And some people don't mind, you know, plopping down the cash for an expensive Band-Aid, but I don't like treating I don't like treating that kind of patient. That's not what I'm after. I don't mind giving a Band-Aid while they're doing the work. Like if I can drop some Prolo in there a few times, calm it down, get them moving again, get them in the hands of a good naturopath to do that work, because I don't do that work anymore. Then we can talk about going to something bigger, but people just wouldn't get it and often would be adversarial. And I'm like, you know, it shouldn't hurt when I put a needle in your knee. Like at all, and you're screaming off the table. That tells me, and it's really interesting, Shantae, because I under ultrasound, as I approach the joint capsule, I can see it visually. I can also palpate with my needle, but I can see it visually. And 9 times out of 10, the patient, if they are that middle-aged woman and some men, their whole body would stiffen up and their faces would light up. And that's because the joint capsule was inflamed and painful. It was the actual capsule that was painful. And as I traversed the capsule, that was when they experienced the most pain. So it's the synovitis that's actually driving the joint pain. It's not this like, oh, you have bone on bone, or oh, you have a torn labrum. Exactly. It's like, they always want to look at things they can do surgery on. And you know what I think too, this is totally random, but I believe that the reason hip replacements and joint replacements so often, you've seen these patients, they get immediate relief. The relief lasts for only a certain bit and now the pain comes back. I think it's because when they do a joint replacement, they strip your joint capsule off. They strip your synovium and then it grows back. And when it grows back, if that systemic cause of pain is still there, now you just got a new joint and you got the same problem you had before.
I love it.
That's my rant.
I love it. It all makes so much sense. And I want to kind of like tie into that and ask a question about that, kind of about buy-in and your ideal patient. Because from what you're saying, it sounds like there's, and the same thing goes for PT, like there's a person that would benefit a ton from this and would probably see like really fast results if they went to you at a certain time when they were feeling a certain way and then, you know, bought in and did these other things in their life. What does that person look like?
Well, usually if they deadlift, I am a fan.
Number one, must deadlift.
Must love dogs. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I had an application process when I was taking patients and it was pretty clear. What I was looking for was if they had bilateral anything, I suspected some kind of systemic cause.
For sure.
So we want to rule that out and make sure that's handled. Anybody with acute onset that's not traumatic is usually some kind of systemic cause. So that's not an ideal patient. That's somebody who needs to go get something looked at. And I would say, you know, of course, most people who have joint issues are kind of in that baby boomer range, the 45 to 75. I was looking for people who were well-conditioned, eating nutrient-dense diets. Mm-hmm. Most of them were already working with naturopaths or mm-hmm. some kind of holistic functional medicine doctor. So they were aware that, you know, the first thing I would say to women when they walked in is, are you on any kind of bioidentical hormone replacement? Is your thyroid being monitored and managed? And most of them would be like, oh yeah, I see Dr. So-and-so and she sent me to you. So okay. I'm looking for people who are already doing the work and they're usually already on some kind of anti-inflammatory or I'm not like particular about paleo or keto or low uh-huh, carb uh-huh. or anything, but you know, something nutritious and helpful with lots of protein. Uh-huh. Vegans and vegetarians don't tend to do well because I'm sorry to say, if you don't eat collagen, you don't produce collagen, and all of these therapies are designed to produce collagen. So those patients I would usually encourage, I'd try to have some kind of conversation about some kind of collagen supplementation that we could mm-hmm. compromise on. And you know, generally well-conditioned, obesity drives inflammation. Yeah. In fact, I have studies to show that in obese inflamed mice, their PRP is pro-inflammatory and their stem cells are dead.
Oh,
so we don't regenerative medicine doctors out there, if you're just throwing $10,000 stem cell procedures at morbidly obese patients, you are creating an ethical issue because wow. their PRP is and I would tell patients too, I would say, look, just by looking at you, I can tell that you've probably got a lot of systemic inflammation going on. And I would say these exact words and most people appreciate it. I would say, if I take your hot mess of inflamed blood and I concentrate it down, highly concentrate it, and I shoot it into your hot mess of an inflamed joint, we are going to have a problem.
When you put it like that, it makes total sense.
Most people are really appreciative of my candor because I'm like, no, that's the truth. Like, we're either going to freeze your shoulder and make things worse, and then I'm going to have – and then undoing that is a lot harder than just priming them and doing the work up front. So
– shit. When you say it like that, I'm like, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
People who smoke are not good candidates because their capillary beds don't make it to the periphery well enough to heal them. They don't heal. You know, obviously diabetics are a challenge because they don't heal well either. So we want people with good blood sugar regulation. Yeah. And there's plenty of people out there with, I mean, at least to fill my practice, I had plenty of people beating down the door who were like us. They were just, they were fit, they were healthy, they were getting older. I like to say I keep active people active. That's my target avatar patient.
I love this. This is so cool.
And it's not to say that other people don't deserve therapy. I've treated lots and lots of diabetic, obese folks who just really wanted a new start and they wanted to get moving in the right direction. So it's like, all right, we'll start with Prolo. It's inexpensive. It's something that most people can access. And then, but you have to do the work now. Now that we got your pain down, you got to go do all the hard things.
Tina, first off, this is fucking amazing. I literally answered him like, oh my God. What about, because we're talking about ligaments and such and that being a big driver, what about in your general hypermobile community? Do you see a difference there? Do you see that? Is there a difference with this population?
Yes. I think that most people who make their way into a prolotherapist's office are probably a little bit gummy and hypermobile.
Okay.
So I know I am. I think evolutionarily we're in good shape because our ligaments would snap before our bones would break. Mm-hmm, you know, if we were in a hunter-gatherer society and we were and our bones snapped, we'd probably end up with sepsis and die because we'd break the skin. So
we'd be dead.
I think there's an evolutionary advantage, but you know, there are folks who are, and some of that's dietary and some of that's adrenal. Like if you're cranking out cortisol all day from chronic stress and your adrenals are tanked, your ligaments will get more laxity in them. So people will become far more hypermobile than, and they'll sweat all over the, have you ever had those patients? They just like, you do something or you adjust them and they just dump sweat.
Like, what's going on, you man?
Their aldosterone is low. Their adrenals are shot. And so they don't have enough aldosterone to keep the sodium in the distal microtubule of their kidneys. So they can't reabsorb their water. So they just like, they have some kind of stressful event, like an adjustment, and they just, all over your table. So those are people that I'm like, all right, we got to treat your adrenals, or we got to look at different things. And I can kind of, and estrogen, for instance, as women's estrogen drops, estrogen keeps your tissues elastic and juicy. And so if that estrogen's missing as a woman ages, she's going to become tighter and tenser. Being hypothyroid manifests in the tendons, and you're more prone to spontaneous tendon rupture. So you'll see a lot of that distal biceps rip off the radial head. Wow. That's worth checking. Progesterone keeps you from, it just makes you feel better. It keeps things from hurting. I don't know exactly the mechanism mm-hmm. that it has on soft tissues. I'm sure there is one. Obviously, you need enough testosterone so that you can have an anabolic response to the therapies. So we don't want to treat a dude with really low testosterone because he's not going to actually have any kind of regenerative effect. He's just going to, you know, have no anabolic status. So, and women too, you know, women need a little testosterone here and there. That's why strength training is so awesome for women in particular. But yeah, lots of variables. And so I'm looking for somebody who kind of has most of that in line. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you know.
Oh, makes sense. Tina, are you running blood panels on all of this people? And how do you, what happens?
I used to run, and sometimes I would run like a screening lab panel where I would just look at C-reactive protein to look for inflammation. Mm-hmm. I'd look at serum insulin because if their insulin's sky high, we have a problem with blood sugar. I'd run a hemoglobin A1C for the same reason. That was about it. When I used to do everything. I was like a one-stop shop and mm-hmm. I did full hormones and full, I did everything for patients, including injections. And I used to know what their gut was doing. I knew what their hormones were doing. I knew what their blood work said. Most of the time now I either send them to a practitioner to have all mm-hmm. that done, or they're coming, like I said, they're coming yeah. from someone. And most of the folks in my community knew I was pretty hardcore. So they were like, I got to get you dialed or she won't take you.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's a great rep to have.
So they knew when they came in that I was going to be a straight shooter. Not every patient loves that, but I think most people get sold, especially in the regenerative world these days. It's the Wild West. It's like, I can't stand it. I see, and I hate to say this, but I'm seeing it with chiropractic clinics. It's like a chiropractor hires an ND or a nurse practitioner to do injections in their clinic. This ND or nurse practitioner has no idea what they're doing. And then you see these these evening seminars pop up at hotels where it's like, come learn about stem cells. And they sell you. And if you go to any, I've been to them, I've infiltrated, I've crashed, and I go in and it's a bunch of older, obese folks who are desperately looking for pain relief.
Wow.
And they're getting $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 stem cell procedure. And I'm like, why don't you take that money and invest it in a really good naturopathic doctor or functional medicine doctor and a strength and conditioning coach or like a PT who does strength and conditioning and go do that first.
For real.
Like go get strong, get your diet dialed so that you're eating well and get your hormones in check. And then we can talk about something far less expensive that will probably work for you.
So, Tina, real quick, and I was gonna ask you before and you just reminded me, an ND versus a functional medicine doctor, like there's all these words out there. What is what? Yeah. What should people look for? Like what?
Functional medicine was the advent of a brilliant man named Jeffrey Bland, who is from Washington mm-hmm. up here near me. I'm in Portland. He admittedly at that time said it was adopted from naturopathic medicine. So naturopathic medicine is the grandmother, I like to say, of functional medicine. And naturopathic medicine really is this idea that we're looking for the root cause. So it is far more interesting to me, like I said, like why did I suddenly develop bilateral mm-hmm. hip pain in my 40s? There's something going on there, right? Yeah, I was deadlifting too much and I was trying to PR too often. And I probably did mess up my cartilage or my labrum a little bit. But why did I have this sudden, and you've probably seen this in middle-aged women, like why is there a sudden mm-hmm. insidious hip melting mm-hmm, phenomenon, mm-hmm. right? So to me, I'm looking for the root cause of that and to take care of that first. And then, of course, we do want to do some biomechanical stuff and all that jazz. A functional medicine doctor, and not all of them are like this, so I don't want to throw anyone under the bus because I'm friends with a lot of them, but they do have more of a, in the allopathic community, you run tests and you apply treatments mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. diagnoses. That's not how naturopathic medicine works. Naturopathic medicine is, why are you presenting with these symptoms? I mm-hmm. want to treat the individual. I'm treating the person. I'm far more interested in you than I am all of your symptoms. Your symptoms are just telling me a story and I'll run tests to confirm it. But if you have chronic mold, for instance, why are you so susceptible? Is it because you're living in a moldy environment and or is it because your vitality is low and you have a weak constitution and you're just getting hammered by something that like maybe your mm-hmm. partner isn't getting sick because they have a stronger constitution versus in functional medicine, there's still that reductionistic way of thinking of like, let's run all these labs and apply supplements and hormones to these diagnoses.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
And that's That's not all of them. Yeah, and then you have integrative physicians, which are actually different than the other two. Oh, and they come from like Andrew Weil. You've mm-hmm. heard of Dr. Andrew Weil. That's the Andrew Weil camp. Those doctors actually remind me a lot more of naturopathic doctors than, say, functional medicine. But for full disclosure, I know chiropractors and nurse practitioners and all type. I know NDs, naturopathic doctors, who have gone through the functional medicine training, and we're all here to help people. We're all here to do good in the world. I'm not dissing anyone. We're a bit different.
Gotcha. That is,
we can't all fly the same flag. People want to clump us together, but it's like, no, like I'm not a functional medicine doctor. I'm a naturopath.
Yeah.
There is also, ironically, a ton of people out there calling themselves naturopathic mm-hmm. doctors who are fake. They're not even real. They are getting an online certificate that they spend, you know, however, like 100 hours, 200 hours doing. And then there's all these people in Europe who call themselves naturopathic doctors who went to some sort of formal schooling, but it was nowhere near a 4-year medical curriculum with, you know, national board exams like we had to pass. And so, unfortunately, it's the one profession where you don't mm-hmm. know what you're getting unless you go look at the doctor's curriculum vitae or their resume and like actually see that they're board certified and they're trained. So I just wanted to say that.
But you can look at it online, right? Drew had said that you can search for these providers, like to see, like they need, like if you ask them what school you went to, there's like a database. You gave me a website.
Yeah, absolutely. And usually what state they're in will have a board and you can look them up there. Also on that tip, just to kind of go back to the regenerative medicine, there are a lot of doctors picking up regenerative medicine and adding it to their websites, even though I know some of these docs and I know they're not doing regenerative medicine. They're just putting it on their website because they went to a weekend seminar. And that's like somebody coming in and saying they're a rock tape, you know, they're a rock tape expert because they did a course with you.
Right? I get it.
And like they know how to peel off paper and stick it on skin, but that's about as far as it goes. And a lot of these docs are picking up regenerative medicine because they're realizing that the studies are showing that cortisone injections don't work. Mm-hmm. And the surgeries they're doing are not working very well in most cases of orthopedic surgery. So it's kind of like the sexy thing to say you do it. And I'm seeing plastic surgeons pick it up, ER doctors, all kinds of neurologists. And I'm like, do you really want a plastic surgeon doing orthopedic medicine on you?
Like, exactly. I was actually going to ask, like, so because that is a thing that I'm like, I feel like everyone is like doing this now. And I'm like, I feel like you should probably check in to see who you're going to. For it to become an ND, it's its own 4-year program, like outside of chiropractic school?
Yes. Yes. So you need a bachelor's to get in, and then it's a 4-year program. And more states are requiring that you do a residency, although our residency program is not as – the residency program is not – in medical school, the residency program is subsidized, I believe, by the government. Mm-hmm. And in naturopathic school, that's not the case. And so there's not a lot of residency set up. I did sort of an informal residency with my mentor because I spent so many years with him. But yes, it does help. That's why I created my mastermind programs, because these doctors need mentoring and they need someone to call and they need coaching. And so that it kind of grew out of that need of, instead of me taking on residents and dealing with all that, it's like, why don't I just try to teach them how to be better doctors and better business people and more ethical and better injection therapists?
Got it.
So four years, national board exams. The Canadians and the Americans take the same set of board exams in naturopathic medicine. In chiropractic medicine, they take two separate sets. There's the Canadian version and which I hear is more difficult, and the American version. For naturopaths, not so. Same set, and then that's it. And then there's only, I want to say there's 25 states right now that are licensed for naturopathic doctors. Every state that is licensed has a state board. And there's usually state exams to get licensed. And so I can't, you know, and in Oregon, I have the broadest scope. So I can do a lot of things here that I don't do a lot of what I can do that's in my scope, but it's a broad power. It's because of my mentor. My mentor made sure, he was very active politically. He made sure we had broad scope. So that's kind of it.
Tina, how did you go? So you went to chiropractic school first at the same time. What happened here?
Well, so I worked for Rick, who was the naturopath forever and ever. And then I had always been a patient of chiropractics, and I was a really sick little kid. And my chiropractors were the only ones who ever answered my questions and treated me really well. Like even as a small child, I would ask, I was a pretty smart kid, and I would ask really compelling questions to my doctors, and they would just blow me off.
Yeah.
Things like, does what I eat impact if this is going to go away? You know,
you're crazy.
And they just, the MDs just kept putting me on more and more and more medications, and I was so sick. So anyway, chiropractors were kind of always my saving grace. And then I got out of school. I had never heard of a naturopath. I got out of school. I applied for a job with a guy in town here. He did not hire me, but he sent my resume over to Rick, and I ended up working for him. Then years later, I jumped into chiropractic college, much to his dismay. Mm-hmm. And I spent 2 years there, and I loved it. But every time they would talk about these, like rheumatoid arthritis or any kind of, you know, inflammatory immune-driven arthropathy, they would not go into diet or anything like that. And I was like, hey, you know, the chiropractors I knew from the 80s were really holistic. Yeah. Like, what's going on? And it just wasn't a very holistic. It was a great program. I went to Western States. I loved it. It was really diverse, but it was not that great on this kind of stuff. So halfway through, I jumped ship over to the naturopathic school, and I got there and I loved it. And it was really, 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 really hard, actually. But I was like, you guys don't know anything about physical medicine. So unless they really doubled down and took a personal interest in it, that program was pretty weak on phys med and anatomy. So I went back to Western States and said, hey, can I, they were trying to build a bridge program, and I was the guinea pig, which it never came to fruition, but I was the person. So I, and it was, they were about 30 minutes apart in Portland. So I drove across the city all day long. As a single mom with a little kid, like I literally, it was crazy. I don't know how I survived that, but I did it. And like I said, I synthesized information in my head. But when I got out of school for years, I thought everyone knew this stuff. I was like, oh, everybody must know this. And it wasn't until I was in practice for about 5 years and I got asked to teach that I was like, most people don't, most doctors don't actually know the way that I put this together. So I want to teach it and share it and try to help more. So a cool story, my, my assistant, who she's been with me for years on and off, her mom is a naturopath, and she has spent a ton of time with me learning about phys med, coming from a naturopathic family, but she's about to graduate from PT school. So she's really committed to bringing these worlds together, which I think is really cool.
Wow. This is like, and this is going to segue nicely into the next thing I want to talk about, which is your mastermind, that like you have to bring all these things together. Like there's no one program, one thing out there that gives it all to you, that you've had to really piecemeal this, and this, you've created this amazing end product. Like, wow, this is,
thank you. Yeah, it's a synthesis. And I think that's why I'm so excited these days when I go to conferences and I see PTs there and strength and conditioning coaches and chiropractors and sometimes naturopaths and MDs. And like, I'm starting to see the world's become a little bit more, you know, integrated for real in real life. And we're becoming friends. And social media, I think, has been the coolest part, is because I can like talk to nurse practitioners, and people will sometimes school me because I have a strong opinion, and people will be like, you can't say that. That's not true. And this is why. And I'm like, thank you for educating me. I did not know that. And so it's, I think it's super great. And I think that behooves the public. Because we, I always say, like, I may not know, like I'm not a gut expert. I'm not a hormone expert. I know how to do basics and I'm pretty damn good at it. But when someone really needs a gut expert, I know who to send them to, you know, when they need, that's the beauty of being one of my patients, is I have a strong network. And so it's like, that's better for me to say, you know what? I don't want to rehab you. I actually prefer to send you to my strength and conditioning coach, who works really intimately in the same facility as this awesome PT. And so the two of them will tag team you, and let's get you strong, and then let's inject you. And if you get strong, a lot of your hormonal issues go away.
So good. I love that you said that. And I think that's huge for the listeners to hear. Like, it's not about learning everything yourself and then doing everything yourself. It's one of the hugest things we're going to see, the most beneficial things for your patients, is having that patient-centered model where you have this incredible network and you know a little bit about these other things, so you can at least like know, like, yeah, it's a good provider versus it's not as good of a provider. But then you also know like what you like doing and what you're good at, and then you refer out for the rest. Like, it's so good, Dina. So good. My hands in the air. It's so good.
Thank you. I think it's, I was kind of raised up in the world where you were, where I was taught to never refer out and keep everything in the office. And I think that is the worst thing any doctor can do for a patient, because
can't do it all.
I also, I also know that sometimes just getting, I call it the Dr. Oz syndrome. It's like when, you know, you could tell a patient or your parents or a loved one the same thing over and over and over again. They don't listen. And then they go see someone else and someone else tells them, or they see Dr. Oz say it. And they're like, did you know what I learned on Dr. Oz today? And I'm like,
I've been saying it for 8 weeks.
So when people, like when I was a baby doctor and patients would go see another practitioner, I'd take it so personally and I'd be like, I failed them. What have I done? They don't like me. And now I'm like, good. I'm glad you went and saw so-and-so. They're wicked smart and they're probably going to give you a new perspective on this, or at the very least reiterate and reemphasize what I told them all these years that they were not doing, that suddenly it'll stick.
So good.
We need more people, and we just need more, like the chiropractors that I train, they all want to go do functional medicine. I'm like, well, that's great, but it's a huge learning curve. Why don't you just learn to identify these key things to say, I think you have hypothyroidism and that's what's driving your migraines or your whatever. I know a doctor or so-and-so, go see them. And then, because that makes the chiropractor or the PT or whomever the hero, right? They made the appropriate referral, and then they're the hero. So they're going to see more, the patient's still going to come back and they're going to get more patients out of it. So it's like, just do what's right by the patient and learn to identify some key factors that are non-negotiable. It's like for me to know, like, you need a PT. I cannot inject this away. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to go. I told many patients, don't come back after the second round of something and they're still not going to the PT. I'm like, do not come back here until you've had 9 weeks of PT. I don't want to see you again. Like, and if you don't go to PT, don't come back, because I'm not, like, quit wasting my time. Like, your that shoulder needs rehab and it needs strength, and I'm done putting expensive injections into you until you get it handled.
Good, Tina. This is so good. I want to switch gears real quick because I'm like looking at the time, but it's not a huge switch of gears.
Okay.
Your mastermind, your teaching, this transition that you made from treating to coaching. Tell us all the things, please.
Okay. So first it was business. I ended up getting hooked up with Jill Coleman, who you know. Mm-hmm. I had been trying to build an online platform for a few years and I was struggling, and I met Jill and hired her as my coach, and that really escalated things for me in a great way. And then after a few years of my profession watching me, they were like, a lot of naturopaths were coming to me saying, can you teach me to do this? So I opened a high-end business mastermind first last year called the doCERE Mastermind. And then this year I realized with prolotherapy, I had been doing these one-off trainings, Prolo weekends, like, you know, like a weekend event, like you teach with different things that you do. And I realized with Prolo, they really need a submersive year at least to get all the major pieces. Otherwise, I almost was feeling like they were more dangerous leaving the weekend. If they were just having a one-off weekend. I hold different kinds of trainings. Most trainings in prolotherapy are just on cadavers, and you get like three chances to stick a dead frozen cadaver. My trainings are on each other, so you're actually injecting each other, which is pretty intense. But they were leaving the weekend with like no resource of, can I call, like they need someone to call when a case gets dicey, or when they have clinical questions, or, you know, they needed better orthopedic knowledge. They needed a lot of things, and business. And so I created a high-end prolotherapy mastermind, which is really my favorite thing. Like, that's the most fun thing I do. So I've got both of those going this year, and it got so busy, I ended up having to close my practice because I couldn't do all the things. So closed down the clinical practice, which I'm okay with. I figured 10 years was good. Yeah. I did it. I'm proud of myself. I feel like we live in a very sick world, and people are we have a lot of pain coming down the chute. And I feel like I know how to handle pain well, and I want to teach more doctors how to do that. And so this year it has been just for naturopathic doctors, but this year I'm hoping to work with more chiropractors, because truly my heart is in musculoskeletal medicine. I love my chiropractic peoples, PT, health coaches, acupuncturists, whomever. I want to incorporate them more into my business training, because I think any business owner, but particularly physicians who want to have a cash-based practice, we have to know how to do digital and online marketing. It's non-negotiable.
You're right. Like,
you got to know how to do it if you want to thrive. Otherwise, you can suck it and go the insurance route, which I think is horrible. So I think it's organized crime. So those are my mastermind events. And I've got the doCERE Summit that I'm hoping you're going to speak at in October.
No brainer.
In Portland. That'll be super fun. I'm just trying to close the gap and reach more people, the public and other doctors, because I think that it's pretty simple how to start thinking about these things. It's just trying to put it into an algorithm that makes sense that practitioners can use to either help their patients directly or refer out for proper care, you know?
My mind, just this whole episode. Can you, I'm going to back it up again. Can you tease out the Prolo Mastermind? Now, this is like almost like a fellowship of sorts because they're like doing clinical stuff. It's not like whenever I hear mastermind, I think of like business ideas, like we're going to grow a business.
Yeah.
But like this is about education and learning and clinical skills.
It is. So we have, it's a year long and it's for right now, it's just for naturopathic doctors and or doctors who can inject.
Yeah.
And we do monthly group calls. And then I do a monthly tutorial where I'm teaching something pertinent. So whether it's anatomy, orthopedics, whatever, we have several in-person events where we actually inject and practice and do that stuff. I teach them a bit about marketing. There's one-on-one calls so that they can, I just did a full day of calls before I got on the phone with you where, you know, they call me and they either have clinical questions about cases or they, and, or they want to know like, okay, I want to go give talks in my community to drum up more business. What do I do? Or, you know, whatever, whatever kind of marketing and business, call or coaching they need. Yeah. And then, yeah. So over the course of the year, I'm hoping to at least give them as much of my brain as I can, because I realized if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, this all goes.
Yeah.
And I really want to train up an army of
like it lives on with this. Yeah, I'm like, but it lives on. I hear it. You guys listening. So one of the reasons I brought Dr. Tina on is for that Roger Bannister effect, right? You guys know I probably bring his name up like every episode, every other episode. But for those of you that don't know what it means, Roger Bannister, first guy to break that sub four minute mile. And then like the week after he did that, like, I don't know, 30 other people did the same thing, right? Because once we see it done once, suddenly we're like, oh shit, maybe I could do that. And this is one of the reasons I brought Dr. Tina on. Like, she's created, one, I wanted to pick her brain for all the science stuff. And you guys, you heard all that. I was like, whoa, I'm typically taken back to chemistry and biology. And I'm like, oh my God. But I brought her on for this side of things, especially because she's created this training, right? Mastermind. And you guys can too. If you're looking for other things to do, if you're like, hey, I like teaching. I like, you know, I have something that I want to give to the community. I have something that I want to teach, you know, other professionals. And I see that there's a huge need for this. Go ahead and freaking do it. Like, she just went and created this. Is, my mind is blown right now because you've actually done both, Tina. It's not just business side of things. Like, you're doing the clinical side and you're doing the business side of things for them. And it's a full year because you recognize the need. And you're using a digital component to it because I'm guessing this is not all in person, right?
No, it's mostly online. I'll tell you a quick story before we go because it really feeds off of that. We have six naturopathic tenets, and one of them is docere or docere or however you want to say it. It means doctor is teacher. And my mentor, I'm going to cry. He was in hospice for 6 weeks, dying of cancer, and he wouldn't let anybody in. So for weeks, I didn't see him, and I was just waiting to get a phone call that he was dead. It was horrible. It was like 6 weeks, and all of a sudden, I got a text message from him, and it said, "I'm so glad that you're so well connected." And I was like, "What does that mean?" And I basically beat down the door to see him, and I made his wife let, I made everyone let me in, and they were like, "You are not allowed to start crying." And I walked in, and he was just a skeleton, like he was days away from death. And I sat down with him, and he wasn't making a ton of sense, but his hands, weirdly, I had watched his hands work for so many years that I remember what his hands looked like better than his face at this point. I remember his hands and his voice. And I just kept staring at his hands so I wouldn't cry, because his hands still looked the same. They were thin, but they still looked really well-muscled and strong. And he said, "Don't forget docere." And so I tattooed it on my wrist. And I had been on a bender since 2013 to freaking docere all over the place. Because this medicine can't die with me, and it can't die with any of us. Like, if you're really good at something, figure out a way to teach it.
Make
sure you're really good at it. Don't just do it because it'll make you a buck, right?
Like, yes, the caveat.
Do what you love. And I love watching you teach, and I love watching you travel the world doing what you love, because like, you've just created a life out of something that you love doing, and you're enriching millions more patients' lives because you're reaching so many hundreds of doctors versus you one-on-one all day, right?
Tina, this is so freaking good. Like, damn. If you guys didn't get chills from that story, I don't know. Are you dead? Like, What's going on? That's incredible. Tina, if people want to
go to therapy,
and the podcast is over, go do something. If people want to, you know, whatever from you, how can they follow you? I want to link the podcast. I want to link your Instagram. Give them the information.
Awesome. So I'm on Instagram at Dr. Tina, D-R-T-Y-N-A. And I've got a great book out we didn't talk about, but it's called Pain Free and Strong. It's the 6 pillars of health that you need to have dialed before you can, it's kind of all the pre-work to do before you go get injected. And that's a great resource for patients too. So drtina.com, it's free. It's there. It's a great book. And then I've got a podcast with over 60 episodes. I think you're like 62 at this point. We're going to launch that next week. Lots of episodes on there with experts, but also just me talking about a lot of these things. So I have a whole one on what makes for a good regenerative injection patient. I have one on why you need to be well conditioned and on. So I'd love if people would go check that out and give me a review on iTunes. Uh-huh. I need them. I haven't done a good job promoting that podcast, but it's great. It's full of so much good content. So I hope people will enjoy it.
Tina, you forgot to say the name of it.
Oh, Pain Free and Strong. It's all Pain Free and Strong. Put in Pain Free Strong. I'll come up, I promise.
She goes, I haven't done a good job promoting it. Nope, you didn't say the name.
I know. It's kind of been this like passion project. Yeah. And so it's always just sort of not been nurtured. But somebody the other day was like, holy crap, you've got some gold in here. Yeah. I'm like, I know, it's a good show. I just need to get it out there. So maybe people will listen and share.
For sure. You guys listening, I'm going to link all of that. Instagram, Dr. Tina. You got the website, drtina.com, that free book, Pain Free and Strong, is actually on there. And I'm glad that she said that, because that was going to be my question of like, you know, where can people start? Like what's, because a lot of this becomes confusing. Like, oh my God, but the hormones and then, so you know what? We're not even going to cover that in this episode. You're going to go and download the book and then you can read it. So you have that resource there for you. And then her podcast, which is stellar, that I'll promote because she's not promoting it. Pain Free and Strong. I will link that in the show notes. So you guys that are listening to this on like iTunes or platforms that allow you to look at the show notes directly, you can click and take you right over there. And then do me a solid and leave her a review. It does help people find the podcast. I ask you guys for them all the time for a reason. It helps people. Basically, it shows iTunes like, yeah, this is some good shit. So you should show it to more people. So that's why we ask for it. It's not awesome. Just to fuel ego. So
I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Dr. Tina. Before I let you go, one last question. Mm-hmm. If you can leave the people with anything, and it could be nothing, you got any last words?
Yes. Be brave. Just be brave. Like, stay strong and be brave, because the world needs everybody's light right now in a bad way. So anyone who has light to bring needs to bring it right now.
I love
that. That's my advice.
Be brave. Bring the light. I love it. Dr. Tina, thank you so much for taking your time. And you just told us your whole life. You're doing a bajillion things. So thank you for carving out some time to do this. I'm pumped to release this episode. Like, wow, my mind is blown. Oh, so thank you.
I'm so honored to be on. And I'm so glad to connect with you and be friends with you. And I love your work so much. So
thank you. And this is freaking awesome. You guys out there, I know you're freaking pumped about this episode. If you're not, I don't know. Again, check your pulse. You're probably dead. I'm not going to ask you for any likes or anything like that this episode. If you like the episode, if you're picking up what we're putting down, I'm going to ask that you head on over to drtina.com and you grab that book. All right, this way you have a nice starting point and you have a resource, right? No likes for me, nothing, no subscriptions. Don't worry about it. Head on over to drtina.com. I'll link it in the show notes and grab that free book. All right, folks, wrapping it up officially this time. I know you can be doing anything. You chose to listen to us, and for that, we are extremely grateful. Until next time, friends, Dr. Tina and Maestro